Welcome to the radio ministry of Locust Grove Church. Join us as we listen to Pastor Joe Brazino share a message from the Word of God.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see, our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name.
Who remembers that sitcom? Oh, everybody does. I like that. That's a great tune, isn't it? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Wouldn't that be a great song for the church? You want to go where everybody knows your name. You want to be where you can see that all our troubles are the same. What does that do to judging each other? It eliminates judgment, doesn't it? Because you're a sinner, I'm a sinner. We're saved by grace, and we're on our way to heaven. Amen? So we see that all our troubles are the same, and so there's no judgment, and there's none of that. There is true, listen carefully, an authentic community. The only problem with that theme song, it's a great theme song, love the lyrics. It talks about a neighborhood bar in downtown Boston, Mass., instead of a local church. How many of y'all know that people find connection in bars? Bars thrive, not because, listen carefully, church family, I don't believe it's because people are addicted to alcohol. It's because people tap into the need to love and be loved, to know and be known, and to be accepted. And there is, listen carefully, there's wholesale acceptance in bars. Why is there not wholesale acceptance in church? Good question. Well, that's what we will explore. Before I read you a quote, I want to talk about, you know, the times that we're living in now with the coronavirus concern, the crisis, and so on. And also the fact that we have coined a new term, a new phrase that we use now. It's called social distancing. Social distancing. Now it's politically correct to keep arm's length, preferably 6 feet away from other people, so that the spread of this virus is not so. I'm not asking you to push your wife away, Lyle. He's kind of telling her to vamoose, brother. To keep our safe distance, to limit the spread of this virus, okay? But how many of y'all know that doesn't do away with the human need for fellowship and human need for community and human need for appropriate touch? You know, we said that now with technology, that this is supposed to keep us more connected. But as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, how many of us know that as our phones get smarter, people get dumber? And as we think we're more connected, we're in actuality less connected. We don't know how to talk to a person face to face. We know how to FaceTime. We know how to text. But how many of y'all know that texting is not an accurate form of communication? Right? That's a great way to misunderstand someone's tone of voice, someone's attitude, someone's intent at times. So given that, and I read a statistic here recently that 40% of people in our country feel socially disconnected. Socially disconnected. And yet we have sitcoms that were huge successes in the 90s that say, go to the local neighborhood bar because that's where it's at. That's where you can connect. Now, here's a quote by Chuck Swindoll. I'm sure you've heard of him on the radio. Great Bible teacher. He says here, the neighborhood bar is possibly the best counterfeit there is for the fellowship Christ wants to give his church. It is an imitation dispensing liquor instead of grace, escape rather than reality. But it is a permissive, everybody say permissive, please. Accepting, everybody say accepting. And inclusive fellowship, everybody say inclusive. It is unshockable. I love that word. It is unshockable. How cool would it be if the church was unshockable? Well, I was scrolling through my news feed yesterday and I saw that brother so-and-so checked in at this pub. And that eyebrow just gets judgmental. I think Christians are some of the most shockable people in the world. You know, Luke chapter 15, verse 2 says that Jesus welcomes sinners. And he was not shocked by their sin. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus knows me, this I love. My sin never took him by surprise. Your sin never took him by surprise. The sinner who's chinning on the edge of the gutter, his worst sins never took Jesus by surprise. Right? So if a bar can be unshockable, can the church be unshockable? Should the church be unshockable? It is unshockable. It is democratic. You can tell people secrets and they usually don't tell others or even want to. Well, we know that doesn't happen in church. How many of y'all remember Rona Barrett? The Hollywood gossip. Remember her in the 70s? How many of y'all remember the Inquirer? Inquiry minds want to know. Well, in the church, brother, you confide in someone. Well, it becomes public knowledge that you know that, listen, we got to gather together and pray. And you know what? People gather together and they don't pray and they gossip. Listen, instead of, when you hear something, instead of picking up the phone, why don't you go to the throne? The bar flourishes not because most people are alcoholics, but because God has put into the human heart the desire to know and be known, to love and be loved. And so many seek a counterfeit at the price of a few beers. Isn't that eye-opening? I don't believe that people hang out at bars because they're alcoholics. I believe that people hang out at bars because they have some of their needs met. Not the way God wants to meet them. Not the way God can meet them. But how many of y'all know you're going to find whatever you can, where you can, as often as you can? Right? We can't judge them. If we, the church, have the capacity to dispense grace instead of liquor, and we are not dispensing grace and we're dispensing judgment, yo, we better zip our mouths up. Because somebody else is doing something. It might not be God's best, but it's high time, church family, that the church arises and that we become, number one, accepting. That we not prejudge people by the way they look, by the way they talk, and yes, by the way they smell. You know, church family, we have so much to learn as a church, don't we? I think we're still in kindergarten when it comes to doing church Jesus style. We're not accepting. We need to be accepting. Okay, so what if, how many of y'all know that we all have baggage? What if someone comes in with a lot of baggage? Are we going to say, sorry, check out your baggage, or don't bother coming? Jesus said, he who comes to me, I will never, no, not ever, not now or forever, drive them away. John chapter 6. Listen carefully. He who comes to me, I will never, no, not ever, not now or forever, drive them away. Last Sunday evening, we spoke of, you know, Jesus' commonwealth and how Jesus is not broke as some of us think he is. When's the last time you saw a person that was broke that had a personal treasurer? And the personal treasurer had at least 6 to 8 months worth of liquid assets. I don't have money. I don't have liquid assets 6 to 8 months worth. You're supposed to have 6 months, but I don't have it. I would dare say not a lot of us do, but Jesus did. And you know who was supplying his ministry? One of the ladies that was supplying his ministry was a very promiscuous woman named Mary from Magdala, a town of commerce, also known as the Magdalene, Mary Magdalene. Jesus drove 7 spirits out of her, and she used all the money, a lot of the money that she got, almost a year's worth of salary on pouring out expensive perfume on his feet and washing them. And Jesus let her. Can I ask a question? Let's say there was a lady of the street, a lady of ill repute, if I can say it that way, that came to church and say, hey, I want to give an offering. Can I give offering? Are we going to say, no, that is ill-gotten gain. Filthy lucre. Is that what we're going to say, or are we going to welcome her? We should welcome her. People need connection, church family. There is no better institution in the world than the church for people to become connected. Amen? Every joint supplies, every part does its share. All of us do our share. All of us hug and we greet and we encourage and we affirm. And we say, I miss you. And we say, I love you. Come on, somebody. And we say, look, I don't know where you've been. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've been through. You belong with me. If you belong to Jesus, you belong with me. We might not see eye to eye on the rapture. You and I might not share everything. We might not agree on everything doctrinally. Who cares? The same blood that bought you bought me, and we are blood brothers. We are in this body of Christ, blood in, blood out, as they say in the gangs, right? It is his blood that joins us together, so it is my job to honor that connection. Amen? That's where it's at, church family. We dispense grace. Let me ask you a question. Do you dispense grace in your attitudes? Do we dispense grace in our attitudes? Do we look at people with mercy and compassion, or do we look at people with a half judgment? You know, when's the last time people gambled for a person's garment? If he was broke, why were they saying, let's not divide up his tunic, let's cast lots, let's roll the dice to see who gets that seamless garment? It was, what was it, Gene? You said it Sunday evening. Very expensive. So are we accepting? Do we accept people? Are we unshockable? Some of us. Listen to this one. Are we permissive? I looked that word up, permissive. And you know what it basically means? To allow somebody to be their selves. Now, did Jesus allow the sinners to feel comfortable around him? They felt safe. A prostitute felt safe around Jesus. A woman caught in adultery felt safe around Jesus. The tax collectors, the traitors that turned their backs on fellow Jews and taxed them and pocketed the extra money. These were extortionists. So they felt safe. They felt like they belonged to Jesus. Why can't that be true of the church? Are we not the body of Christ? Are we not to represent our Savior? Right? Shouldn't people feel at home? Shouldn't people feel like, oh, I can let my hair down here at church? But is that the way it is? Oh, no. Shouldn't have to be that way, church family. People need connection. People need the Lord. People need the church. In this day and age where we're more disconnected than ever, and then this weekend didn't make it easy because of you know, now we're going to have online church and we're going to preach to an empty auditorium if it's a bigger church. I get it. I get it. I respect that. I get it. I'm glad churches did that, took that measure. But how many of y'all know that doesn't do away with people's needs to connect with other human beings in person? How many of y'all know that we all need appropriate touch? Right? We all need appropriate connection, face-to-face, handshake, hug, encouragement. I got to have it. Do you have to have it? Go with me to Romans chapter 15. Everybody okay? Let's read verses 1 and 2, please. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples or the weaknesses of the weak and not to please ourselves. Okay? We are to bear. That word bear means to, can I break it down? Put up with, tolerate lovingly. Well, I don't like this person. They're always so this. They're always so that. And that's with another church member. What happens when the weak, the real weak come in and they rub us the wrong way? Is that really bearing with their weaknesses? Come on, church. Is it okay if I preach all of God's word? Amen. Nobody going to stone me if I preach all of God's word? Nobody going to stone me if I step on some toes? Don't say amen because you just incriminated yourself. Verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good or her good, leading to what? Edification. Okay, if you're writing this down, write, I'm going to give you the Greek word for edify, to edify. Oikodomeo. 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 It means to build a building. You want to build it high. You want to build it up. You want to build it strong. So when I'm edifying another person, what am I doing? I'm building them up. I'm not tearing them down. Yoo-hoo, I'm not taking side jabs at them. Come on, somebody. I'm building them up. How many of y'all know? Listen, I believe, church family, when I was a young kid, I got ridiculed all the time. My own siblings ridiculed me. They called me awful names. And I grew up with that for years, for years. So when I would get compliments, I would not believe the compliments because my brain defaulted to all the horrible things that I was told I was. But at some point, by the grace of God, when I started learning who I am in Christ Jesus, come on, somebody, what my rights and privileges are in Him, what they are in Him, listen, I shed myself of that perception. So if you think I'm cocky, baby, you don't know where I've come from. I'm confident. Right? I remember telling Kelly here recently, a couple days ago, that I remember I was in the second grade, and I was a portly little boy. And I was walking down some stairs, and these two girls that I thought were pretty, they started laughing. Don't edit this out. They started laughing. I didn't know what they were laughing about until a guy pulled me aside. He said, well, you were bouncing as you were walking. I never forgot that. Verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Did Christ please himself? He gave up everything. But listen, we are to please one another. We are to defer to one another. We are to build each other up. Everybody, church family, has good in them if we look for it and find it. And make a big deal about the good. You know, I've had people, I have friends in Effingham that the husband does my taxes. He's retired. He's turns 80 this year, I believe he does. And his wife, you know, I compliment them because they don't look 80 years old. They really don't. They look like they're 60 years old. And the wife never does well with my compliments. She says, oh, you're just flattering me. I said, no, Judy, I'm praising you. I mean, y'all know there's a difference between praise and flattery. Praising, you're trying to build them up. Flattery, you're trying to take something away from them. You're buttering them up. And I here recently, a couple weeks ago, I was down there, and I said, Judy, I'm just trying to encourage you. She said, well, it's hard to accept sincere compliments or praise when all your life you're used to people putting you down? How many of y'all know that sometimes people act out in weird ways because they're reacting to the horrible things that were said to them in their lives all their lives? And so that's why they act out. But if they start getting a steady stream of, you are valuable, you are loved by God, we love you, we believe in you, we're happy you're a part of us. Come on, church. You belong with us. You're one of us. You know, one of the greatest gifts we can give some people is the gift of inclusion. One of the quotes that Chuck Swindoll said, one of the words, he used the word, the bar is inclusive. You know, Kelly and I went, I told her, hey, hon, I discovered this new restaurant over by Cracker Barrel in Forsyth. And she said, well, that sounds good, but I want to go to the one downtown. It's an Irish place, establishment. So we went there. Unbeknownst to us, they were having a big St. Patrick's party. And we were in the dining area, but the bar part was really crowded. You would have thought there was no such thing as coronavirus. But they were having a big time, weren't they, babe? They were having a good time. They were laughing, guffawing, you know, just slapping each other on the back and just ha, 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 ho, 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 he, he, he. And I'm thinking, gosh, I like that. Why can't we be at church, be more ha, 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 ho, 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 at the expense of the preacher? Yeah. Now you laugh. So here's the conclusion, church family. We all need connection. People need to connect now more than ever. Are we connect friendly as a church? I believe we are. But we all know that we all need some gentle reminders along the way. Amen? And that means we're going to open our arms. You know, that word accept, there was a scripture there with a word accept in it. I didn't give you all of it. I got to close. In the Greek language, that word accept means to open your heart to give access to your heart to another person. To, in a metaphorical way, invite them into your house. Not maybe literally, that might not be literal. Invite them into your life. Open your heart to them. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your goodness. Help us to grow. Help us, Lord, to grow in inclusiveness, in acceptance, in non-judgmentalism. Father, help them to love them to life, to love others, to growth and flourishing. We thank you for all this, Lord Jesus. We have a very good and loving church here. Father, help us to keep excelling in this area. To you be all the glory. Amen.
Of perfect people, but underneath the suits and the smiling eyes are folks who walk through some hard times, just looking for a home, a place to belong, a little peace, a little hope, and thankful these old doors still swing open to the nobodies and the could have been. Disillusion and the doubters, every life train wrecked by sin, every down and outer, for the lonely and the one who's weak, the foolhardy with the stubborn streak, for the soul who doesn't even know what they for the mixed up, messed up, broken people like me. It's a place where everybody's welcome, a glimpse of glory this side of heaven. It's where the weary come for a taste of grace, and Jesus never turns anyone away. Where everyone's a friend, knowing where you've been, and there's no shame, 'cause there's no judging. Just family, always busy loving the nobodies and the could-have-beens, the disillusioned and the doubters, every life train wrecked by sin, every down and outer. Doesn't even know what they need. For the mixed up, messed up, broken people like me. Oh, the ones he came to redeem. Whosoever's in John 3:16. Nobody's and the could-have-beens, the disillusioned and the doubters, every life train wrecked by sin, every down and outer. For the lonely and the one who's weak, the foolhardy with a stubborn streak, for the soul who doesn't even know it's him. Stop, messed up, broken people, all the desperate, hurting, searching people like me.
Do you love listening to gospel music? It can be an act of worship as we focus on the words and beauty of a song. We'd like to take this opportunity to introduce our new creation trio based on the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. With a desire to minister to people through music, Nola, Scott, and Sheila came together in 2013 after spending one evening together singing three-part harmony. Their songs will warm your heart, make you smile, and tap your feet. They love sharing at nursing homes, holiday events, in or outdoor concerts, town festivals, and open mic gospel sings. New Creation looks forward to sharing their stories with you and bringing God's message of hope and love to the lost and found. Contact them soon for a program date. We hope you enjoyed our broadcast today. If you would like more information about our church or would like a copy of today's message, please visit our website at locustgrovechurch.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter at Locust Grove Church Assumption. You might be wondering where Locust Grove Church is located. I'd like to answer that question for you. From Highway 51 between Assumption and Moequa, turn east on County Road 1500 and go approximately 7 miles. Turn right on 1300 East Road and your destination will be on your left. If coming from Highway 128 between Dalton City and Findlay, turn west onto County Road 2400 and travel 5 miles to 1300 East Road and the church will be on your left. We can't wait to meet you in person. And now here's a final word from Pastor Joe.
Everyone needs a place to belong, and a church family is the perfect place. There's no substitute for having one, where people love you, give support, and bring accountability to your life. That's why all are welcome at Locust Grove, where God and friends meet together. We're alive, so it's worth a drive.